Okay, I'd like to just explain to you what I'd like to do today. Simikov Tesvav is three Sifim. Sif Aleph is Cholov Akum. Sif Beis is Gevina Sakum. And Sif Gimel is Chema Sakum. The logical thing would be to spend 1 week on Sif Aleph, 1 week on Sif Beis, and 1 week on Sif Gimel. However, last week we did not finish Sif Aleph. And that's compounded by the fact that today is Rosh Chodesh and we have an abbreviated shiur. So I'd like to do is finish Sif Aleph, leave Gevina Sakum for next week, and do with you a halachic issue. If any of you do not have copies of this handout, as far as I've read, this is an issue which began in 2006. It may have began earlier, but the Kashrus organizations became aware of it in 2006. It's a separate issue, an interesting issue, which I guess it will be perfect for the last 15-20 minutes today. And then next week we'll have a clean slate for Gvina Sakum, and then for a week after for Chema Sakum. And that's the way we'll set it up. So let's first spend the beginning of this year finishing Sif Aleph. We're on the second page of Sif Aleph in the Ramah, and there are two issues which we're going to deal with in the Ramah. We're starting from, if you have, for everyone except for Mark, it's the seventh line of the Ramah on the page. Mark, for you, it's where you have the Vav of the Taz and the Gimel of the Shach next to each other. Somebody be kind enough and do a chesed to Mark and help him with it. But
Mark, I'll lend you my shoulder.
The thing is this, that we learned last week about Chol Yisrael. There are two issues which remain, two pieces of the Ramah. The first part of the Ramah is a very difficult halacha to understand. He says the following: Im cholvay oivdei kechavim, or probably im cholvu oivdei kechavim. See, here Mark has a corrected one. What does it say?
Obey.
What?
Obey.
It says chol.
Cholbo.
Cholbo. Yeah. All right. So it's cholvay oivdei kechavim, mitzas behemos. If the guy was there alone with the animals, and he milked some of them, and there was no Jew present. And the Jew came when the rest of the cows were milked. Nowadays, we could be mekel that even if the chol of Yisrael was only for some of the animals and not for all of them, we could be meikel. Miu im loy by Yisrael ad acha shenechlevu kulam have a kecholav shchol zeve kechavim dasura afal pi she'ein davar tamei be'edrei. If it's regular cholav akum, there was no yid there, then it's certainly aser. That is no question. Period. This is the first Ramah. Ramah is saying that if the mashgiach came late, they were all, everyone was there bright and early in the morning, milking. The Mashgiach came later, and they said, we're not waiting for him. And they started the milking, and the yid came in the middle.
80-90%
could be done. So, well, let's see, it doesn't say how much, we'll have to see Shach and Taz. But the Ramah is Mekel, and the Shach and Taz go crazy. What kind of cool is this? Well, since when could you have a tray for milk mixed with kosher milk? We know that we're machmir on lach balach, needs shechav b'shishim to be bottled. So why are you being mekel? If it's a bottle b'shishim, it's pashit. If it's not bottle b'shishim, then what's going on here?
But we don't think it.
What?
There is no
right, but the Ramah himself says if the guy milks and there's no Jew there, even if there's no behemah tmeah bed, right, it's all cholav akum. Right, he says, if the guy miu am loy by Yisrael at achas shenechlevu kulam, have a kol shchol veyakum dasura. Afo bishayin davar tamei be'edrei. It's a drabana. It's not us. It's a drabana. But still, this is the tamiya. So the Taz and the Shach, the Taz is short. Let's see the Taz. The Taz learns that this is not a kula. Fakir, this is a chumra. Listen to the Taz vav. Im chol veyavikachavim miktsas. Zekoy al chaylev behemis Yisrael, berefesh achayre beis Yisrael. The Taz learns it's not talking about a guy's milk, a guy's cows. This is talking about a Jew's cows and a Jew's property. And it's a chumrah, not a kula. It's a chumrah that if a guy milks a Jew's cows at a Jew's farm, the guy has no incentive to mix and trade for milk. It's all the yid's milk and the yid's cows. It's aser. And for that, we'll make it with mikzah. So, mehediyah b'sayim shor b'agah sharei duro b'darkei maisha. Omnam cholav shechol b'yevi kechavim b'behema shalai l'sharina kav kal yisrael reyayu. Maria kama shaynai. So the Taz is machmir b'yaiser. Not only does he not learn this is a kula, he learns this is a chumra. That in a Jew's farm, I would think, what incentive is there? That's chalav akum. It's the farm, the property, the milk, everything belongs. Just he hired a Mexican to milk the cow. So you would think it's not a problem? Kamash v'lon, no. That's also chalav akum. This is the Shita Satas.
That's the flow, because right before this, we're speaking about the whole thing until here.
Right.
Right. In the middle.
Okay. But this is the way the Taz learns. It's not the Pashto Sarama.
But you still have the same Kashi.
Much better.
In the beginning, it wasn't following Israel, and because it wasn't there, how did it become following Israel now? The same Kashi.
The same Kashi is a Kasha, except that if you would have told me, if the Ramah would have told me that if it's a Jew's house and a Jew's cows, there is no Chal of Yisrael, I would have accepted such a kula. Because the Gemara doesn't talk about a Jew's cow and a Jew's milk.
So,
I hear the Kashmir. I mean, it's not answering in Svara. Okay.
The
Shach does reject this Mahalach.
The Shach, why should be also? Because earlier we said, if we start at the beginning, it said, in a base Yisrael, where there's no behemoth, the mayor.
That's only if the Jew is there at the beginning and he walks out. It's not if the Jew is not there at all. Right.
So this is the
Knas. This is how the Taz is learning. The Shach writes in Yud Gimel, Lo Yadati Me'ein Hoitzi Arav Zeh. V'lo Yavanti Svarasai. He doesn't know what he's talking about, what's going on here. He writes the Lifsai Kemari, the Kosav Dashav Lo Shach Dover Tamei She'en Imotzi. V'lo Yosei Elokov Shol B'yevik Chom Me'behem Shalai Ben Yisrael Re'eyu. V'arav Ma'iri B'behem Yisrael. If you can say it's talking like the Taz said, this is talking about Jews. If you're going to say like the Taz, that it's a Jew's cows, so then you don't need a Jew there at all. So he doesn't understand what's going on. So he, therefore the Shach, also has a very hard time with this. The Arichos, he says, the Taz was the Ramo Saimach and Rabbeinu Tam, who walked in light once. Mai said that someone walked in light, but he says that it's a toss and understanding of the Rabbeinu Tam. And Lamaisa, the Shach also does not end up being Mekel. However, it's unusual. The Ramah is Mekel. Taz and Shach don't accept the Kula. However, there is a Pirish in the Tzvi Letzadik. Did it make it to the bottom of your copies? Yeah, okay, good. The Tzvi Letzadik has a Pirish which the Mati Yainasin also holds of, although more Bekitzer. I'm not sure which one to look at. Let's look at the Tzvi Letzadik.
Which one?
The one that starts Siman Kuf Tes Vav Sif Aleph B'Hagar. Okay. Im Chol Vayay V'Kechav V'Mikzas Behemes Hashach Sukkot Yigimel Nidchak B'Zeh The Lav Dafti K'Rav Beinu Tam Shem Doloi Mistaber L'Chalek. He doesn't know what's happening. There's a Maiser Rav Beinu Tam. He says it's not talking. Li Hasdaiti Svar G'don L'Chalek Yesh Kan Svek Svek. Says I'm not here because of the Svek Svek. Hashem Eloi Hayah Shum Chol Av Tamei. Maybe there was no Chalav Tamei in Tim Salim Hayah. Harayv Chalav Ksheira. We know for sure that Rayv is kosher because Israel was there for Rayv. Ooh, Batal B'Rayv, Min B'mina Min HaTayra. Say in the Dairaisa, Min HaTayra, Min B'mina Lach B'lach is Batal B'Rayv. Batal Kama Matzuch Samach, and even though here, Drabbanam HaMachayiv Shishim, Hainu B'vadei Chalav Ein Yehudi. Abba B'chashosha Kaigamna, Didi Eben Mutta, Vadei L'Kuli Al-Masagi B'Rayv. He's saying, now there's a problem with this. Because we treat Chalav Akum as a Vada Yisr. He seems to treat it as a Suffolk Yisr. That maybe the milk, maybe there was no Chalav Tameya. He says, when it's Batul Barayv, we can be Mekel. Vaidim and Atar Balavachi Batul Barayv. Medrabana Ma'isicha Malay Trade Rabbanan. Mashaykin Bakulan Aruban. Vadi Chalav and Yehudi. Vitzar Samach. Vashi Shabbat Divar Ramah. So Tzil Tzag is learning the Ramah that you need Rive. The Ramah didn't say the word Rive. But he's learning that you need Rive kosher milk. If you have Rive kosher Chalav Yisrael milk, and a mere Chalav Akum milk, you could be Mekel. Now before you scream, let's just see the Matiyanesin. Matiyanesin starts in Chol Bayev Chav Mikras Behemais. In the regular copies, it's about 10 lines on the bottom of the column. In Mark, it starts with the word Shom Bahagot. It says Ayin Shaskan Yigimel Herachli Tein Tam Lomalay Nesarai Sechol of Shechol Bechol by Kaidim Bias Yisrael. Ve'efshe Devadei My Sechol Shnechol Acher Bias Yisrael Oymed Levad. The kli, if the cholov that was milked when the Jew did it is standing separately after a mama did the aser, then the first part is a chaser. Rakmai, we should find this aray v'ma cholov shnechol v'achar bias Yisrael. Yeshnei medayi de taruvis be'emes kula haylei asur rabbanim mishum loyplug rabbanim. His language is better than tzvilat tzadik. He's saying is that the rabbanan asered cholov akum with a loyplug, but when his bottle arrived, they didn't ask him with a loyplug. When his bottle arrived, kula hay lo yechmiru, they were makel that if his bottle arrived, you could rely on ein davar tami be'edra. Not happy with it, but it's a pshat. The shach and taz don't really have a pshat.
What's the rove? Is it the rove of the amount of
milk? The rove of the total amount of milk.
50
the total milk, no, the gallons of milk. It's right. There are 1,000 gallons of milk. I walked in after the mashgiach came after 300 gallons of milk. And now there are 1,000, so right of it is Chal Yisrael.
I would assume that that 300 gallons would be all tummy. There's no tummy animal. It's like,
yeah, the 300 is also because Chazal made a gzeira. Once his bottle arrived, we're saying that once his bottle arrived, it's still gzeira, but it's not a light plug. Then when there's no Dava Tami Badger, I will make. Look, this is the way he's explaining the Ramah. The Archa Shulchan says to rely on it for Shasat Chak. It's a nafkamina. I'll tell you why. Rav Moshe, in the end of his one of the tshuvas, Simen Mem Tes, I think it's the second of his three tshuvas of Chol Yisrael, he has the following problem. You remember from last week, Rav Moshe was mekel because there are government inspections, and that's called the Yediyah, and you could rely that it's that we know for certain it's Chol of Kosher. Rav Moshe was asked that the physical facts on the ground are not entirely that way, because while it's true that the milk companies have their own milk, they also supplement their own milk with milk that comes from surrounding farms. So farmers milk their own cows and send them truckloads of milk. And that milk is not under the government supervision because those farms don't bottle milk. So the milk that's there is not supervised by the government. So therefore, they asked Rav Moshe, how could you be mekel? Some of you're being mekel that since the milk is supervised by the government is considered a yediyah berura, and it's as good as seeing it, and Eidei yediyah is as good as Eidei Riyah, and that was Rav Moshe's yisaid. That doesn't help for all the milk that comes from surrounding farms, it doesn't help. On that, Rav Moshe invokes this Ramah, that it's a miyot that comes from the farms. Roiv comes from, also farms, but that's only, farms are owned by the milk company. And therefore, he invokes this Ramah, the Mati, he calls it the Mati Yainasin, he doesn't call it the Tzilat Tzadik, but he plugs in this Mati Yainasin, he has a Tziruf, he has a second Svara, but Lamaisa, he's Mekel based on this. So that this Kula, it's sort of Rav Moshe's Heter, has to come on to a second Kula on top of the first Kula in order to be Mekel.
And I missed something, when he came in, when the Mashiach, let's talk about his case, the Ramah's case, so you have 300 gallons in your case. So being the something is lechatchila?
It's true. It comes out from the Tzilat Tzadik. They're not allowed to do a lechatchila.
Right.
Lechatchila.
He said it was there when he comes in and he does all this. 300 is okay. No, when he comes in the first 300, has to throw them out because
he should have thrown them out.
He
didn't throw it out. So you mean Yoyis? You made the knas. It's lechatchila. If you do it. What was the heter to keep on milking? Good question. I don't know the answer. It should be a knas. I guess you have the same teretz Rav Moshe had in his tshuva on the schnapps, that when things are made for roiv custom is wagayim, there's no knas. Rav Moshe had a cheshbon why there's no knas on bittul lachatchila. So roiv of the customers are agayim, and you can be simach that. It's tough. I agree with you.
And these are big farms.
Is it possible that's less than 60? If it's less than 60, it would be a no question. What the facts are, I don't know, and I imagine it changes from time to time, but the Ramesh's matter, as long as it's a miut, obviously he's talking about it's more than a 60th. Otherwise, Taki, you're right, there would be no shot.
But the company also has to have a idea of that this milk is okay, not from Brazil or this, otherwise they would be in trouble. The company.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Yeah. I don't doubt that it's all cow's milk. I never doubted that all the milk in the United States that's sold commercially is cow's milk. I'm only concerned that we should satisfy the Tekana Drabanan. So I don't have a problem knowing, I know it's cow's milk. That they test for cow, I doubt that they're, I don't know what their tests show. Ramesha held that a mistam is not good enough, you need a yediyah, which he requires the government inspection for.
Don't they do testing to get that yediyah?
No idea.
So what about if someone individual decides to buy milk from a farm and goes there and says there's no pigs there? All they have is cows.
It's us already. When you go to a farm, it's too late. The milk is milk. If they didn't milk it yet, you can go and watch the milk it and buy it.
Right.
Okay. What? The part we read already? The part we're about to read or the part we read? So let's wait till we get there and then we'll start up.
This guy is the part of the Russian. This guy is the guy's name. The Russian came later, but the guy's name is the guy's cow.
Right.
The guy doesn't start the dinner company. The guy is the guy's.
You do. If a guy mixes it, it's bottle. When the Jew buys it, it's bottle beray. Bottle beray is still lost in the Rabbana and the Shishim, so that's why you need the Chiddush to be made. Alright, next part of the Ramah. I told you there are two dinim here. The next part has to do with the question of dairy equipment. The question of whether someone who's makbid on Chalav Yisrael has to be makbid on dairy equipment as well. And that's this last piece of the Ramah. Chalav Shoyvi Kechavim. Oy Seres Kelim Shenez Bashlu Behen Kishar Iser. It answers the Kelim in which they were cooked, just like any other Iser in Shulchan Aruch. Va'afa Pi She'enei Rak Safik Shemi Iriv. Even though it's only a question if any trefil milk is there, the chengivinoi seyem, and so to the cheese. Avaloi chemo shalahem, but not the milk of a guy. Not the butter of a guy, I'm sorry. Afilu b'makom shenogu b'yisr, even in a place where we're machmir on the milk of a guy, eino yeseres keo shenis bashluba, v'loi taruvi shalah, butter does not aser kelim, does not aser mixture, shemnis arve beheter. The din of butter, we'll learn later, is more kuladik. And even if we're noyig chumra by butter, but it's enough to be noyig on the butter itself, not on anything else. However, the milk, the blias of milk, zakta ramah, the blias of milk are aser. Let's see, shach tezvav, shenis bashlu bahem, kelim in which the milk was cooked. Chay kasev iser veheter. Va'afagav disvir leiloy iser veheter. Afilu gvina shalay kachavim gufei. Shenafla. Batal beroyv kilakamasav kut yedzayim. Frek Ramesha. How you makbir on blias through a kli? This veheter holds that even blias of the cheese itself is batal beroyv. Tzarech leimid the kamayri be'ein betavshol roiv neged akli. This Ramah is talking that the pot doesn't have roiv against the kli. You hear this? The tafshil, the contest, don't have roiv, which means the shach is turning the Ramah upside down. The Ramah is machmir. The shach, at least in the first teret, says, yeah, that's only if there's no roiv in the contents of the pot against the pot, which is a rare case. But there, it seems otherwise you could be mekum. Inami. L'chatchila asa l'vashul bay. Afilu yehei b'tafshil roiv. L'chatchila, you're not supposed to cook in a chalav stam pat, a chalav akum pat. Afil yeh b'tav shul roi. Da'asa lo'aysif al shum yesu levat lo'y kid le'al sam inside as evad. That's in vanas l'chatchila. Avol, im nizbashu be'bi di eved, yesh roi b'tav shul shari lo'ysif ahed. So this shach, in effect, is a kula. The Ramah is a chumra, the shach is a kula. The shach says that b'di eved, if you get something made on dairy equipment, and the walls of the pot are a miut against the contents of the pot, that we rely by blia of chalav akum, we rely that bitl barai is enough. And I assume this is the reason that Rav Moshe had told me once, I had asked him when I was still a bacher, about the peanut chews. We were giving it out at Pirche in Borough Park. I had a Pirche group, and we were giving out a snack. And then it became dairy equipment. So I asked Rav Moshe if we are allowed to give it out to children of families that are Machmen Achal Yisrael, and it's made on dairy equipment. It's an aparnat. An aparnat is the aladi, just not in the same mouthful. So Rav Moshe said that you could be mekel straight out. Even if you're machmer chal Yisrael, you don't have to be machmer on dairy equipment. I'm assuming that Rav Moshe was soymech on deshach tezvav. Of course, in America, where Rav Moshe holds that the chol of akum is more kuladik in the first place, certainly you can rely on deshach against the taz. What I was mesupik was, and Rav Moshe has a tshuva on this in Yeridaya Beis Tshuva Lamed Aleph. He talks about this, what I just told you, Bishmai. Now, I was misupik if Rav Moshe is a das yachid or not, based on the language of the Chochmas Adam. Now, here, you have to learn, there's a quirk in the language. The question is, I'm going to read you the exact lashon. Is the Chochmas Adam mekel relying on the shach in all cases, or only Behefs and Meruba? That's the question. Okay, this shach, Behefs and Meruba, you can certainly be mekel on a shach. What is, now listen to the language of the Chochmas Adam. I'll read it to you twice. You have to chap where the placing of a comma changes the meaning. Right? What was that? Eats leaves and shoots. You familiar with that?
Yeah.
Eats leaves and shoots, right? A bear either eats leaves and shoots, or it eats, comma, leaves and shoots. Right? Two different things. Here also. Bliyais gavina. He's not talking here about kalem. Okay? Bliyais, and not talking about milk, not about cheese. Bliyais gavina. Bliyais and kalem of gavina. Epsher shebehefsid meruba yeslisimach lahakal ala isa veheta. Bliyais of cheese. Epsher shebehefsid meruba yeslisimach lahakal ala isa veheta. Va'al, please. Va'al kopanim. Becholav de kilmenei yeslisimachalav. But at least by cholav, which is more kuladik, yeshus machalav. Now you can touch this two ways. It says bliyas gavina, efsher shebefsim riyas machalav, b'cholav dekiel malay yeshus machalav. The gavina he's saying maybe behefsim rubi can be meikel, and b'cholav he's saying that behefsim rubi can be meikel. Or the pshat is bliyas gavina, efsher behefsim ruba yeshus mach, b'cholav dekiel malay yeshus machalav, even without a behefsim ruba. So Chochmas Adam's language is depends how you slice it, is unclear. It's open to interpretation. It's unclear, and therefore, I'm not sure. In America, you have this kula. I mentioned to you once before that I'm uncomfortable. Besides this, I'd be very comfortable relying on dairy equipment. I mentioned in the past that there's a second problem with Chol of Stam in the United States, and that is the trephis issue, the issue of the surgery that's done to the animals, and the trephis issue, which is a more serious issue, is a reason that I'm machmir on dairy equipment, because the altsashal of chol of akum, you have a good heter. Trephis, of course, if there is a trephis issue, and again, it's open to shittas, the mekilim, the machmirim. Rav Palm said to be mekel behefsim meruba. He didn't say to be mekel straight out. And it's not behefsim meruba for me to eat things with dairy equipment, so I'm personally machmir. But as far as Chol Yisrael is concerned, the dairy equipment, you have the shach to rely on. And that's this shach, yeah. There's no basa b'chol of the issue on a naparnat. You mean the blias?
Yeah.
You have to remember that at any time a bliya goes through a wall, a bliya of heta goes through a wall of a kli, it never asks things b'di'evit, only asks things l'chadchila. Right? Because a naparnat, even if you mix it with meat...
So it doesn't exist?
Dairy equipment in flesh? No. Right? There's no hechsher that will have a fleshing of food that's made there.
So then where is the chalabakum? If it doesn't exist in Badal Chal, naparnat...
Chalav Akum, they cook Chalav Akum in a keli, and then they make parava peanut shoes in the same keli. So it's a nap or not of Chalav Akum. Right? The bli of Chalav Akum went into the wool and it did a peanut shoe. So the question now is, how's possible Chalav, you can't eat the peanut shoe with meat. Okay, nobody has a taivati peanut shoe with meat anyway. But as far as Chalav Yisrael, if you hold the bli as Isser, then it's nap or not Isura, then it's Asur. If you hold the bli as Mutter, then it's nap or not Atayr. So this shach says that as long as it's rive, it can be Mekel. And typically it's rive. If Stam Kalim, then it's Ena B'nei Yayman. We're talking, you know for sure, the Kalim are B'nei Yayman, which is typically the case. And that's, you're right, if it's Ena B'nei Yayman, then it's okay.
The Rav once mentioned in a recent Thursday night, that the Bliyos of Chala are Gibam Isser.
Right.
Why is Bliyos of Chala different than, how is it different than Bliyos of Chala?
Chala Temeya is out in our treif. So if somebody takes chala, someone separates chala and burns it into the oven by putting it directly on the rack, that rack became treif. Because the chala is treif and the blias go into the rack. That's why people have to be careful to put on a piece of aluminum foil before you put it in the oven. Because it's treif. If somebody takes the chala dough and puts it on in a pan and puts it in the oven, the pan becomes treif. Because chala dough, chala Temeya is treif. Okay? It's out in our tarifus, yeah. It's something people are not aware of, and it's one of those things that falls between the cracks, so to speak. It's people know to burn it, to destroy it, but I think people wrap it in aluminum foil, but yeah, I don't know if everyone does. Okay. You're saying, yeah, there may be someone else here who's wiped
off. It makes crumbs.
No, no, dough. Well, okay. Depends how well you bake it. All right, let's finish the Ramah. Cholav shayvi kechav, the bottom line, cholav shayvi kechav in Shenesra. Eina moyel miyasuach kakavinoi sechama mimena, ela nisheres biisura v'chomashanasa mimena mutter. Osir. We will speak next week about gvina sakum. We are not talking about gvina made from non-Cholav Yisrael milk. When we discuss gvina sakum and chema sakum, we're going to be talking about that the milk is kosher. And you then turn it into butter or cheese. If the milk itself was not kosher, so that's not our issue. Then whatever chumrah the milk had, that which is made from it has exactly the same iser. And we're going to deal with that in Yitzhak Hashem when we talk about the Gvino, which is going to be next week. All right, so we finished Sif Aleph, which is Chol of Yisrael. We're going to turn our attention now to the copies I've handed out. And what? David doesn't have a copy. There's still some available. Sorry, yes, David?
It doesn't arise to make it a suicidic. We could not have roi if we have roi kosher. We're making cheese out of it. We don't know that we have roi kosher.
Why do you know you have roi?
There's no need for kosher.
No, no, you need roi against the Cholav Akum. In other words, even Cholav Beim HaTahira, roi against Beim HaTahira is not good enough. You need roi against it. I'd like to explain the two facts regarding milk, which every farm boy knew until the modern era. The pratim we'll get to next time, but there are two simple physical facts. When you get milk from a cow, milk has everything in it. It's called by, it's a natural nutrient made so that babies could grow from milk. It's wonderful. There are two simple things done with milk, and then there are a bunch of complicated things. The complicated things, I hope to have a handout next week that explains all the various products that are made. But for today, two things. You take milk, you churn the milk, you get butter. You get heavy cream or butter. Heavy cream is what rises to the top of milk when milk stands. I'm not talking about making cheese. We're talking about just letting it stand. You let it stand, you get heavy cream on the top. The heavy cream is turned into butter when you churn it. All churning do is press together the tiny goblets of butter. And it presses it together, and it's a goblet, a cup that you drink from. Pieces of butter that are there. Yeah. and they get pressed together, and presto, you have butter. Butter is the simplest thing to make. It cannot be made of trefa milk. It doesn't require cooking. You don't add things. Cheese, you have to add something to turn it to cheese. You don't add anything. You just churn it. That's why chema is no iser of chema sakum. There's some people, there's a minig that's brought to be machmir. The Iker HaDin, the halacha is Butter is kosher. Cheese, on the other hand, is made later. You take the milk, however, the milk with the butter fat, without the butter fat, you take it either way, and you add something to it, which is rennet. Today there are three types of rennet. We're going to learn about it next week. But you add something to it which causes a separation between the curds and whey. Now, curds and whey, anybody who knows nursery rhymes should be familiar with, and you remember it that way. Little Miss Muffet, you know, deprived childhood. Now, that's a separate issue from butter. People get confused. Butter is a natural thing. It separates. You don't have to add anything. To make cheese, you do have to add, and that's where cheese is more chomer and butter is more kal. Butter separates naturally. Here, you have to add rennet or a culture. Today, they don't have patience to add rennet and wait for it to turn cheese. They add what they call a starter culture to get it started. And that causes a separation between the curds and the whey. The curds are what become cheese. Curds with a C. Curds with a K are in Iraq. The curds with a C are in the milk. And the curds and whey become separated. The curds are what human beings were always interested in, the dire diris. That is made into cheese, and we're going to learn about cottage cheese and cream cheese and yogurt, all the different things that that can be made from curds of the milk, and that's mochamor, because it requires an added ingredient. And Chazal made a gzera that a yid has to add, or at least be there when it's added, when that rennet is added. Now, whey is a byproduct, which once upon a time was thrown out. Mechalav, or mechalav, we'll discuss them both, are the milks that's left after after that. It's a cloudy, almost clear mixture. I once showed you whey, and it's a shame we could do it again next week. What you do at home if you want whey, and you'll be in the spoil. Most of you have eaten yogurt. Yogurt has a soury taste. Cream cheese, not sour at all. Take a container of yogurt, a regular container of unflavored yogurt, plain yogurt, and take a piece of cheesecloth, tie it around the lip, turn it upside down, and leave it in a warm place for a few hours. What happens is that the whey separates from the curds. As a matter of fact, when you open it very often, you see on the surface, that's whey. Now, what is incredible is that whey, if you taste it, the entire sour taste of the yogurt is in the whey. As a matter of fact, if you let it drain long enough, what remains will taste like whipped cream cheese. It's going to taste like cream cheese. It does not sour at all. Most of what's in the container of yogurt is not sour. The whey is the sour component of the yogurt. And that whey was not considered important, and it was thrown away. It was considered not kosher for a very long time. Then it was discovered that the whey has its own mindless, and it started to be used in different ingredients. Now, I began today by telling you that butter is more kal. You just churn it. It separates naturally. No added ingredients. Can't make butter from trefa milk. And therefore, butter, the halacha is that butter, chemas akum, is water. And that we're going to learn in Sif Gimel. Unless it's a mini glass sar, but mikra din it's mutter. Cheese is a problem. Whey is a problem. Now, it's a double problem. It's a gvina sakum problem, and it's a trefus problem. Because there are things added that make a tref. For a very long time, it was assumed that there is no shaila with butter. You can go and buy butter in the store, and there's no shaila. Because butter is butter. Butter is mutter. You don't need Yisrael. Even though it's a mini glassar. But for a mini glassar, it says, Ein leichem b'yad ha-mekilim. For that, you can certainly rely on Moshe's hatter in America and use the butter. And I think I mentioned that in our yeshiva in Tarvadas, Rav Gedalia Shor always had the yeshiva served the government butter. And even though it wasn't Chol Yisrael, they had on the side some Chol Yisrael butter for those who knew enough to ask and take the others. But
butter... If you have kolbaku, right, it says butter. Why is that out of the problem?
Because in the original gezeira, the gezeira was only made on the milk, and not on the butter, because there's no reason to make gzeira on the butter. Because even if you mix treifa milk in, no, you're right. The the Ramah here said if you make challah from chama mimena nisheres biyisura. However, what it says in Siv Gimel as a chemish loy v'kachavim ein meichen lanchi makim shadayga by heter. It's not so. The Shach Yud Ches Dafka Stam Cholav Akshon Yodim Shadasa Vikhov Hoya Lassis Kavinas Mea Cholav Mutu Yisrael Lassis Akka. Okay, you want to compare that to Gvino, we're going to have to Chema. We'll have to see. But I mean, it was milked for butter. Okay. Okay, the question you're asking is good. We'll get to it, I guess, in Yitzhak Hashem. The fact is, you're right, the Ramah says this, and later in Siv Gimel it says the way I'm saying. We'll have to resolve it. Okay, good. If the milk comes liad Yisrael, then it's aser, even if you make chema from it. But if you get it from the Gaius chema, okay, makes sense, that could be the difference. Okay, all right. The thing is this. What? Right. Right. The question is, the Ramah's lashon was that if you get chema from a guy, you make butter out of it, it's still aser. So the difference has to be, if you buy the challah from the guy, you buy the chema from a guy. I wanted to show you today's this article, which is something of a tumult in the kashrus world. Not 8 years old, no. It's dated, it says at the end. Oh, it says 2002, you're right. Okay, so it's 8 years old. It's funny, the article, which I copied at the end, which was printed in 08, says that they became aware of the Shaila 2 years earlier. But it could be it was printed in 08, it was written maybe in 04, I don't know.
But you're right.
Okay. Okay, so the Shaila, I take it back, is more than 4 years old, it goes back. The issue that this article describes, and it's written very well, easy to understand, is the fact that the companies don't want to discard anything. They want to use everything. And they want to use the whey as well. And what they have started to do is add whey cream to the butter. Whey cream is, you take the whey and you separate the thicker parts of the whey and you make what they're calling a whey cream. And that whey cream is added to the butter. And you make butter out of that mixture. That is now a kashrus issue. Why? So he mentions a couple of reasons. On the first page, on the second column, this is originally separate pages, where it says, and here our problem begins. He mentions two shaylos. Cheese needs kosher supervision for two reasons. First, all ingredients in cheese, including the rennet in which it is set, must come from a kosher source. The starter culture also must be kosher, isn't it? As must any additives that enhance the flavors. If cheese is made from non-kosher ingredients, we treat the whey as not kosher as well. That's the first problem. Now, in parentheses they add, it should be noted that Rav Moshe considers this whey kosher. I don't know where that tshuva is. I'd like to find it. The Rav Moshe holds that the whey that comes from the cheese is kosher no matter how the cheese is made. I'm going to try to find it. But he writes that the major kashrus agencies do not permit it. I don't know if that's the same Ramesh Heter of Chol of Stam, I'm not sure. Anyway, the second kashrus issue concerns Gavinas Akum, the special law. So the first thing was because of treif ingredients. The second thing is the special law that requires participation by a Jew in kosher cheese production, even if all the ingredients in cheese are kosher. Halacha requires Jewish involvement in the process. Now, when the cheese has not been cooked, we permit the whey if all its ingredients are kosher. This is because the whey is not cheese, is not subject to the stricture of Gavinas Akum. As long as the cheese is not cooked, no Gavinas Akum has been absorbed in the whey. However, certain cheeses are cooked. Swiss cheese is the most common example. When producing Swiss cheese, the cheese is heated in its own way. W-H-E-Y. If the heat reaches 120 degrees, the whey is considered cooked in Gevina Sakum. In this scenario, the taste of Gevina Sakum has been absorbed into the whey. The prevailing view among Kashrus agents is to be strict with this whey as well. Therefore, if a Jew did not participate in the cheese production, he will not certify the whey or whey cream byproduct. He adds later, because 120 degrees is something of a suffix. In the third paragraph in the next, he adds, however, many Italian cheeses are processed differently. After these cheeses are finished, they are cooked in, let's rub that here, they're cooked in water at 165 degrees Fahrenheit in order to make them malleable. This is how you get the stretching quality of cheese used for pizza. During the cooking process, whey is absorbed into the cooked water. The whey that is drained off with the cooked water presents a clear Gevina Sakum problem for two reasons. First, the cheese might have been completed before the cooking takes place, so cheese is straight. Second, while one may make the case that 120 degrees is not quite Yatzo Ledesbay, there's no question that 165 is Yatzo Ledesbay. There's no doubt that non-kosher cheese is absorbed into this whey. So that, we have a problem. Lemaisa, further down, he says the following. He says there are several grades of butter. AA, the highest grade, would tend to have the least whey cream added, since whey cream compromises the taste of butter slightly. Lower grades are more likely to contain whey cream. Is it possible that the butter you buy off the shelf contains non-kosher whey cream? The answer to this question gives us insight into how some United States Department of Agriculture regulations are actually enforced. Its official guidelines seem to limit the use of whey cream to lower grade butter. This is because the whey cream can make butter taste slightly less bland than AA quality demands. When it comes to butter, the blander the better. Interesting? They want the butter to be bland, the whey adds a sour taste. And yet, we are in possession of a letter by USDA officials stating that the agency tests the butter by compliance by tasting it, not by checking the source of the ingredients. Interesting government agency. In other words, if a company can produce a butter that contains whey cream and yet tastes good enough, the butter will be approved as AA grade by the USDA. We have found companies use up to 5% whey cream in their AA butter. The whey cream is not potl b'shishim, it's 1 in 20. And if so, the whey cream is not, if the whey cream is not kosher, neither is the butter. As we said, companies certainly use a higher percentage of whey cream in low grade butter. So that, it's an interesting development that something that we always thought was kosher without a heksher, the kashrus agencies have a list of things that are group 1 products, group 2 products, group 3 products, group 4 products. Group 1 products are products that don't need a heksher. Things like cocoa or
sugar.
Maybe apple juice, sugar, things that don't need a heksher, salt, sugar, things that they're great at. Now, when they give a heksher, they do show up because they're being paid to give a heksher. They show up, they show up infrequently, once a year, twice a year, because these are things that are that you would buy without a heksher. No, if a company calls you for a heksher and someone doesn't need a heksher, what are you going to do? Send them home? You might as well take the check. So you go and you certify it. Why not? So therefore, the custom, they certify. You can't blame them. But that's called the group 1 product. The group one product is used. Butter was included in the group 1 product. However, they're now discovering that things have changed. And how recent this now is, again, it looks like it's at least something like 10 years old.
I mean, just reading the article and passing the words a little. First of all, they say they have found some companies, but they don't say what percentage of companies.
I'll tell you why. See, when they don't give supervision on a company, they're not going to run around to all the companies to find out what's going on, because they're not giving a heksher there. They're not even going to let them in.
But that statement is very ambiguous. They found some companies. If they surveyed 100 companies and they found two, that's different than if they surveyed 100 companies and found 50.
That's correct.
So they don't say.
They don't say
how much. They seem to imply really that only certain cheeses are certain cheeses are a problem and not all of them. So even if you would get some less, even if the some companies would have more than b'shishim, the question is what the percentage of whey comes from the problematic cheese and what comes from the non-problematic cheese. Now, if the percentage of the non-problematic cheese is much greater than it's here, we wouldn't need. It wouldn't be one.
So I'll explain to everyone what you just said. What he just basically said is that it needs a hechsher. It might be good. It might not be good. We have to know if it's good or not. You're saying we have to know. Right. So we have to know. No, wait a minute. You don't go out and buy meat or buy in a store because most of the stores are kosher, so you go into any store and just buy meat. The meat has to have a hechsher. Right? So, but you're saying it's correct. That being ma'ir, a problem, how widespread is the problem? Maybe it's not a widespread problem. Maybe it's a rare problem. But if we would know that a certain product, let's say licorice, we know most licorice in America is kosher, a miyot is not kosher. We would not go out l'chatchila and buy licorice and rely on rive, right? We would, a kavua has to be tested. If we find licorice in the street, we'd be makel on it because they say rive is kosher. But when you go to the Makom Kviusa, you really have to know that it's kosher. So that, it's true, this article is ambiguous as to how widespread the problem is. Just to say that they found someone who has the problem is not in itself an indication.
I think, Randy, that the bodies that we have in the supermarket all have supervision. I know the race don't have to know you and man, the lakes have to know you. I don't know any products.
Okay. Is that correct?
Yes, they all supervision? That is
correct. All right. So their supervision is there's no problem.
Can you say, those who said on the when he was here 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that the red breaks on there, he said the double A has a shvacha taste and they eat way, they eat flavoring in the flavorings is cholav stam. But if your mock is
But the way again, there are 2 points. The OU to someone who's makbid on Cholav Yisrael. If you're makbid on Cholav Yisrael, and you want to buy butter relying on Sif Gimel, because butter is not a problem, so we're saying now that's not lav dafka. If the OU gives a hechsher, it may still be Cholav Stam. They may be using whey that's Cholav Stam, and the whey is not a bigger problem.
It's the complement of
what
separated the
seven. I understand. No, I'll tell you why. Because when whey, we're going to learn next week, when you make cheese, the Jew, it's not enough that it has kosher rennet. When you're making cheese, well, the whey is separated when you separate the curds and the whey. So when you're making it, the Jew has to be involved. The Jew has to actually put the rennet in, the starter culture. He has to physically put it in. If he didn't put it in, then that becomes treif. Now the question is the way we separate as treif is the cheese. So he brings Ramesh's mekel. I don't know what Ramesh is. But we're talking besides the cooking. He had the first problem and the second. Yeah, when it's not cooked, yeah. When it's cooked, it's a bigger problem. The cooking seems to be limited to only certain types of cheese. It doesn't seem to be widespread. Okay. All right. The in the back, I have. There's a journal. There's a journal called Beis Hillel, and that journal had 2 articles on the problem. And the journal was published in 2008. And it's late, so I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But this page describes, the Mavai Klali describes the different components of milk, how it's separated. And it's interesting that in the first paragraph, the first words of this article start, Kemeya v'chamishin billion kilogram maitzrim yiyotzra b'shana achreina tasiyas ha'anak shal maitzrim e'gevina. He's saying that whey became a big business. If I read it correctly, he says 150 billion kilograms. Nobody's saying you weigh not by volume, but by weight.
So 300 pounds.
A kilogram is 2.2 pounds. So I don't understand, you know, the number sounds astronomical to me, but at any rate, is that word billion? I guess that's what it is. In Israel, they don't use the modern Hebrew, the word is not billion. What? Milyar. Milyar. So I think the word is billion. I don't know. But anyway, he describes how it's made. I guess we're not going to go through it in the Proteus. Next week, we're going to learn Sif Beis and talk about the cheeses. And we'll get back to the way as well and get to the whole issue.